Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to From the Touchline in Seattle. I'm Todd Stauber, and I'm here with the man, Aaron Heinzen.
Hey, Todd. Morning.
Gosh, he's
morning,
on
fire. Everyone.
He's on fire. Good morning from Seattle, Washington. It is a beautiful morning here. Heinzo was just complaining to me that he's been robbed of his winter in Seattle and complaining that it's 75 and sunny.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, we didn't have a winner.
Yeah, we didn't, but I almost just punched you in the face before the show. I can't believe you just said that. Unbelievable. We have, besides fantastic weather here, we have a great show coming up.
Fantastic.
Just a great week in world soccer, Champions League, everything we could have asked for and more.
Absolutely.
Unless your name is Jerome Boateng. And then you're searching for your legs at the new camp.
Common theme.
Yeah, it is going to be a common theme. We were going to crush Jerome Boateng all day. Anything that happens, it's going to all come back to him. But let's just get going. We're a couple more things we got going here. Obviously, a lot going on in the Premier League. We got relegation. We've got Europa League spots open still. We've got Manchester United melting down again. And the MLS got a couple of big things going on. Eddie Johnson, unfortunately, being forced to retire, former Seattle Sounder. A couple of big games this weekend. The old Hudson River, well, not the old, the new Hudson River Derby out in, yeah. And really excited about our two new segments of the show, Heinzen's World 11, where you will give us your best 11 players in the world for the week.
I do my best.
Yeah, and you traveled around quite a bit to get that all together. And I'm going to give off my new segment, Stauber's Bottom Three, where I just give you the bottom three of life in general. Most of the time it'll have to do with soccer, but we're just going to leave that wide open. Let's get going. Champions League. And we're going to start in reverse order, going Wednesday first. Barcelona, 3-0 over Bayern Munich. Messi, as brilliant as he has always been, I feel like he hit a new level in this game. He was absolutely amazing.
Well, every time you see him play in these big games, the last time we were really talking to him about him was when he was doing all those megs on Man City and just looked like he was playing in another game. And he's done it again, and this time it's against Bayern Munich. And, you know, he was kind of on the periphery for a while until the last few minutes, and then he absolutely – the first goal was – classic Messi.
Yeah, it was.
You know, we just kind of, you know, Bernat dribbling out, gets stripped, ball goes to Messi, cuts inside, left foot, goal.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You know, you got to, that's going to happen every time you give him that chance.
Right.
Neuer had already stopped one. Second time around, though, was absolutely extraordinary. And it's why everybody says he's that good.
Yeah.
That good.
I mean, it's just, when you look at what he did to Jerome Boateng, who, I mean, we're going to crush him here today, but he's one of the top central defenders in the world.
He's one of the best. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like a man standing on the corner who was shot by a poison dart in the neck.
Yeah.
And then went into instant rigor mortis and just fell over backwards.
And I do want to spend a minute talking about it because, how does he just fall down there? It's just like something in his brain was like, just fall down.
It almost looked like he tried to turn back around and then got stuck in between two thoughts and just decided to fall over.
Right.
But it was unbelievable, the reaction. And I mean, when you look at the actual touch that Messi took to set him up, he pushed that ball inside with the outside of his left foot and then quickly chopped it with the inside. I mean,
it was so fast.
That was a chop. That's chop suey right there. I mean, it was unbelievable how quick that chop came. I mean, you can ask Jerome. He's still at the new camp climbing out of the hole he fell in. But, unbelievable, really. But I will say this. From the very get-go in that game, mm-hmm. Messi looked like he was up for it on the day.
Yeah.
He just looked sharp. He looked quick. Every time he got the ball, was dangerous. And then let's talk about Bayern Munich and Pep Guardiola's approach to try to go 3-for-3 in the back with probably one of the best three in Suarez, Messi, and Neymar that have ever been assembled. He goes 3-for-3 in the back, 15 minutes in. Now we've got an adjustment. Talk to us a little bit about that, Heinzo.
Well, yeah, he tried to do the Barcelona against Barcelona in the new Camp Nou. And it wasn't going to work out. You know, the first time we saw it, Suarez gets in, like you said, great save from Neuer.
Yeah, great save from Neuer.
Absolutely. Ooh. It was huge. He had Rafinha playing left back and then Boateng in the middle and then Benatia on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And 3-for-3, it was just going to be a matter of time, I think, and they figured that out. So,
are you surprised that Guardiola went into the new camp that – I mean, I'm not going to say arrogant, but that confident that he could defend 3-for-3 against those three guys?
You know, I think he just thought he'd put some pressure on their back line. And, you know, it's Guardiola. you know, he has, if anybody's got the minerals to do something like that, it's going to be Pep Guardiola.
He does have the stones to do something like that.
And I will say it was tough for Bayern Munich because they didn't have Ribery, they didn't have Robin, and they didn't have their typical left back in Alaba.
Yeah, and the other, well, hamstrings them. And Badstuber as well.
And Badstuber, that's right.
A distant relative of mine. At some point, the Stauber clan in Stuttgart broke up, and there was Stauber and Badstauber, and he was on the other side.
And he was on the other side. Yeah.
But they were missing him as well. I should give him a call. They were missing him as well. Obviously, you know, it's tough for them without Ribery and Robin. I mean, that's a huge identity for that team in terms of the attack. I also think, and I, you know, I know he's been in and out with injuries, but Schweinsteiger did not look himself. No. And I don't know Philip Lahm didn't. And I don't know if these guys are just aging and this is what we have now with him, or Schweinsteiger looked a little unfit. He looked a little chubby in the face actually for the first time ever. I mean, I don't know. He just did to me. Yeah. Maybe too much bratwurst last week, but they looked on their heels from the very get-go, and it was one of those situations where you just kind of felt like at some point Barca and Messi or one of those three were going to break through on them, and it was just a matter of time. And to be fair, I mean, Bayern held out a long time. I mean, it was 77 minutes when Messi got the first, and 81st when Jerome Boateng fell off the field.
Right. And it wasn't, Bayern had their fair share of possession, you know, at times, but they never actually challenged, apart from the one where Lewandowski got into space after Müller's cross.
Yeah, and let's talk about that chance. I mean, Lewandowski, I mean, playing with a mask, I mean, it's just
very difficult.
Like, throw a fishbowl over your head and then go on a 3-mile run and see how that goes.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's basically, you can't see, I mean, he can't see anything.
Right.
You're breathing into that thing. It's definitely fogging up. There's condensation.
Yep.
You can't really breathe properly.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a disaster.
Very difficult. Plus, you feel vulnerable already. I mean, your face is broken.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're less likely to go into.
So he misses that chance early, though. Yeah. So you have Suarez. What a great save by Neuer.
Right.
And then you have Lewandowski miss that chance. And at that point, you know, we're watching the game together, and we kind of felt, hey, you know, this might be on. I think right after that Lewandowski miss, I just think it just kind of. You know, it just really slowly the game turned towards Barca, and you know how much could Bayern have used that away goal?
Yeah,
I mean, especially now looking at it at 3-0,
that
would have been huge for them. But you know, I have to say it was a little shocking to see Bayern Munich in shambles like that because I felt like they were. I felt like they were scrambling. I felt like they were on their heels. You know, I mean, Xabi Alonso, I thought was probably their strongest player on the night.
Yeah, he looked to play, and he's played a lot of games at Barcelona. The biggest thing for me was Barcelona got that first goal. Bayern kind of seemed to lose their heads right after that, and that's when Messi, they just opened him up and got that goal.
Well, they lost their heads, and then Boateng lost his legs.
Which, by the way, I wanted to say, if you want to see a movie version of Boateng's legs going down, go back to Empire Strikes Back in the part where they shoot one of those walkers and its head explodes and it goes, that's the movie moment.
That's what happened to Boateng. Yeah, exactly.
It's the ones that's smoldering and it tips over after he wins.
Yeah,
that's it.
Unbelievable. I mean, the ground shook. He fell so hard. But and then, you know, I think – even when you look at it and it was 2-0, you're still, if you're a Bayern, you're thinking, yeah, we still have a chance. But, man, giving up the third goal in injury time, I mean, that could be the nail in the coffin for them. I mean, yeah, you know, sure, they came back in the last round and came up with six goals or seven goals in the second leg.
That was Porto.
Yeah. This is Barcelona. Yeah. It's not going to happen, I don't think. I mean, I honestly, you know, as much as my German roots want to say, yeah, I think they have it in them, I'm not sure they do, especially with how depleted their lineup is. And, you know, on the other side, I mean, even the guys they do have, you know, Lewandowski's obviously hurt. I mean, Mario Götze looks like a shell of himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he stayed in Brazil after the World Cup and still hasn't left.
Yeah, I think so. He came on again in the German Cup as well against Borussia Dortmund and did nothing.
Well,
struggling to...
You know, when we talk about Bayern Munich and shambles, I mean, let's look at their week. Lost in penalties in the German Cup semis.
Yeah.
Lost over the weekend against Bayern Leverkusen.
Right.
2-0 in league.
Right. Leverkusen, good team. And
They are, and Bayern didn't play their full squad.
Right.
But
still, doesn't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help. And, you know, I mean, Should he be? No, but I think Pep Guardiola is under a little pressure.
I think he's a little bit, but I think it is Pep Guardiola still, and I think Bayern, the front office is definitely still happy with how he's doing. And,
yeah.
And, you know, they were impressed that they were in it that long, I think, in that game in Barcelona. And they know what he's down. I mean, he's definitely got – he's missing a lot of players.
Yeah, he is. But how would you like to be the Bayern coach? And over one shoulder looking over, you have Karl-Heinz Rummenigge.
Yeah.
And over the other shoulder, you have Franz Beckenbauer.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah, yeah, things are going pretty well here.
That's what we like about Bayern. Yeah.
I heard you guys are pretty good at soccer.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, yeah, you're right, exactly. But I think it is – if you get rid of Guardiola, then where do you go from there?
Who's so next? You bring in Larry White from PSG?
I don't know if you do bring in Larry White.
Or Arsene Wenger.
Oh, you bring in Wenger.
Yeah, Wenger. Wenger, listen, we'd like you to come to Bayern. We'd like to just win games and no trophies. So we think you're the guy.
Well, then I would lose the games. That's almost.
Let's move on to the other game. And really, I mean, I've been looking forward to talking about this because nobody talked about Juventus going into this. Everybody looked at the four. Yeah, you know, it's Juventus. But everybody's talking Real, Bayern, Barca. Nobody expected this. I mean, Pirlo, what can you say about this guy? I will say he's 35 and he looks 55. He plays like he's 25.
He's an ageless guy. He's an ageless player. I think he's even older than 35.
I looked it up. He's 35.
Oh, I thought he was older than that.
Buffon looks 65 and he's 37.
37, okay.
Yeah, Buffon's, I couldn't see. His eyes have sunk all the way into his skull. I can't see him anymore. So I don't know about him, but what a performance. And I thought they were the better team all night. I thought they were the better team. I thought Tevez obviously was good, you know, created the goals, both of them. Yeah, he was very good. But I think overall it was a good team. And I think in the midfield, Real Madrid struggled. And I think they desperately missed Luka Modric.
Yeah,
and I thought that I thought Pirlo controlled the tempo of the game and really controlled the midfield in that game. And I just can't believe I'm saying it, but Juventus was better.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just flat out better.
Yeah, they looked lively. I mean, Vidal put in a huge shift.
Huge shift.
Claudio Marchisio was fantastic, I thought, as well.
Yep.
I think, the Italians looked very much able to win this game. And this time the Sergio Ramos move into the midfield wasn't what it was against Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, this is Pirlo. You can't do that against Pirlo. But, I mean, you know, nobody talked about Juventus. Everybody can say it was a surprise. But is it really? I mean, here they are. They've just won the Serie A this week. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so there's no AC Milan, no Inter Milan. The big players are kind of not in the mix in the Italian league this year. So the tendency is to think, oh, the Italian league is struggling this year. But clearly they're not. I mean, any team that wins the Serie A is going to be a quality team. And Juventus proved that on Tuesday night. They were very good. And, you know, I think going back to the Bernabeu, it's a tough one, though, because Real did get the away goal.
Yeah.
And a nice goal. A good goal, by the way. Great little looping ball by Ramos.
Right,
and poor marking. Yeah. Shocking marking on Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Not the guy you want to leave standing on the goal line to head the ball in.
Right.
Maybe he'll miss. No, he probably's not going to miss that.
Exactly.
But, Real, I mean, the reality is all they need is one goal when they go back and they've won it and they're in the finals. Again. So
yeah, it's not out of there.
It's definitely not
out of there at all.
Yeah. They can score a goal for sure. Will Juventus get another? Will Juventus hold on? I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to be interesting. I think, to me, I wouldn't mind seeing either of those because I think in Barca Juventus you have a really interesting tie there. Mm-hmm. In Barca Real, obviously, you have an extremely interesting tie there. Two years in a row, all Spanish final. It would be something else.
Yeah. The wing matchup there as well was pretty interesting. I thought Patrice Evra, Carvajal was very lively.
Mm-hmm.
Lichtsteiner, Marcelo. I mean, you got all kinds of good matchups going on the field. And
I thought Ronaldo, Patrice Evra looked good. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
I thought he did look good.
I was really wishing he was back at United.
Yeah, he was looking great.
I'd rather have him than Johnny Evans.
And you didn't see Bale at all in the game. And Ronaldo, after his goal, was kind of disappeared as well. Juventus pretty much took things over.
They didn't have a lot of the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they really didn't have a lot of the ball, and Juventus had more of the ball. And like I said, I mean, they just controlled it in the midfield. And I mean, Pirlo, this guy is,
he's absolutely first class player.
They
tried to concentrate on him. They couldn't get to him. He's just running stuff.
I mean, and some of the first touches he takes out of pressure, so clever and so sharp technically. just really amazing.
He is really fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So, you know, I'd love to see Pirlo get into the final.
Yeah, it would be nice. He's never won.
No, he hasn't. So I'd love to see that. So
rumor has it he'll call it quits too if he wins it.
That's really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. He's going to go back to the stadium too where they won the World Cup final. Back in Italy in 2006.
So well, that's right.
For him.
Yeah, that is. Well, should be good. Second leg's coming up next week. Any predictions, Heinzo?
I'm going to say, I mean, it could go either way, but I'm going to say I'm going for Juventus.
Well, it can always go either way. It's a game.
And I'm going to say Juventus, and I'm going to just look like a fool here and say Bayern Munich comes back.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Why not?
Juventus, Bayern. Z-Germans. I'm going to go on my prediction. I'm going to say Barca wins that next tie 2-1 in Bayern for a 5-1 aggregate. And I'm going to say Real gets 2.
Okay.
Juventus gets 1. They go 3-3 on aggregate. Real. Oh, they would. No, and they're going to go into extra time.
Extra time.
And at that point, I don't know. I'm saying they're going extra time. I'm seeing 2-1 extra time. At that point, I can't predict it from there.
The one thing you got to hate as Real Madrid is you're playing Juventus and they have a lead. And Juventus are playing away. I mean, just look for them to shut the doors on everything.
I mean,
you got Chiellini, Bonucci. It's just a massively
tight, locked
box.
The one thing you'd like to see if you were Real Madrid looking over at Juventus is maybe Jerome Boateng.
Yeah, playing. Oh, yeah, you'd love to see that.
Yeah, you'd love to see that. Just dribble at him and chop it with your left foot. He'll just fall over, and then you can lift the goalkeeper with your right foot.
Great.
So let's move on. Europa League. Great, you know, in the semi, first leg's done. Sevilla 3-0 over Fiorentina. Fiorentina has some shocking defending.
Yes.
Apparently, they played without a left back.
Apparently, they did.
Oh, jeez, how shocking. All three goals coming on that side. Napoli 1-1 with the Russian side, Dnipro-Dniprovetsk.
Getting the goal. And that was an offsides goal. Napoli had a huge argument over that.
Yeah.
Really offsides as the ball was coming in.
Well, things can get a little dodgy in Russia.
Yeah, so. No. So it was, I mean, now they have to go back to Russia to get a result.
Yeah, it's going to get a little dodgy.
For the far better side, but we'll see if they get the final. It would be really nice to see a final. I think Sevilla's got it locked down on Fiorentina, but Napoli versus Sevilla would be an excellent final.
Yeah, it would be a good final. And I think, what if we have Sevilla win the Europa League and we have two Spanish sides in the Champions League final?
And it's Spain's looking good.
Yeah.
The top seven teams in Spain are.
Very good.
Very good.
The rest of them.
I think after that, I mean, you get ridiculous scores.
Well, yeah. I mean, the rest of them are like third division teams.
Yeah. And actually La Liga, we should say, because La Liga was canceled.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah. So canceled for the moment.
Sort of the TV rights.
Yeah. The TV rights where they're just giving all the money to Barca.
Yeah.
Real,
yeah.
Which is why those other teams
they
aren't
need
good.
Some parity there.
Yeah.
That's why the Premier League is the best league in the world because everybody gets a share of the money.
Right.
And nobody's left completely.
I find it strange that they do that.
Yeah, it is.
That they can just say, hey,
140 million a year.
Sorry about that, Sporting Gijon. I know you guys really aren't that good. We're going to give the guys that are better than you more money so they can get even better.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have no chance.
Yeah. I know. It's a shame.
That's a tough
one.
That
does need to be fixed.
Yeah. It sounds like it's going to get fixed. So you're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We are also on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. You can catch us on Twitter. We're at FTTL. In Seattle, great little picture of Jerome Boateng on the Twitter feed for the week, we're just talking about the fact that he lost his legs. It's it's a Red Cross tweet that this man lost his legs on May 6, 2015, due to a terrorist attack by Lionel Messi. You can donate $10 to have him try to walk again.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it's on our Twitter handle at FTTL in Seattle. He might bounce back. We'll see. Moving on here, though.
He'll have a safety device in the next game, like water wings or something. Just psychological.
He might.
Some sort of psychological.
He might. God, it's not going to get old, is it? It really isn't. Let's move on to the Premier League, though. First off, just we're going to crown Chelsea champions.
Fair enough.
Eden Hazard, missed the penalty and then headed in.
Yeah, Why not?
And now you've won the championship. Yeah, player of the year for sure. Yeah. Not the penalty of the year.
No.
But the player of the year for sure. Chelsea, it was inevitable. We knew it was going to happen. It was almost anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just...
It was. I actually went to the Georgian Dragon over the weekend to watch that game just to check it out. There was probably 5 or 6 Chelsea fans there. The rest of the bar was completely empty. Yeah. Which usually on a, you know, on a soccer day.
Yeah, it usually is packed. Cool,
but it was... It was a ghost town.
Yeah, well, so Chelsea takes care of that. And now Chelsea, obviously, you know, they've got a few games left here, a few games that could impact the rest of the table. Liverpool on Sunday. The question is, will Jose Mourinho be starting in the center midfield with Roman Abramovich at center back? Fan favorite Jimmy Smith, 15-year-old science student, starting at right back. Will they play their team? Quadrado, that's right. Will they play? I mean, will they play their guys? Are they going to play reserves? Yeah. Are they going to play young guys?
They'll play guys. I think you'll see, you'll still see most of the players in there. I mean, maybe you'll rest Cahill or Cherry, or maybe you won't. I mean, who knows? It's a tough call. I think you'll definitely see some attack change. I think Quadrado will play. Mm-hmm. I think some of these guys will probably want to rest. It is against Liverpool. Mourinho, you know, always likes to put a little stick in the side, but maybe he will. You know, put some more pressure. I mean, you could easily see him going other ways. He knows United now need the points.
Yeah.
He could put in a watered down squad, watch Liverpool try and get 3 points.
Yeah.
Liverpool have their own injury problems. And
well, they've got their own issues. I mean, so we found out Sturridge is now done till October. That's a bigger blow than they even thought it was going to be. The reality is you've got a little race going on there for those Europa League spots. You know, Liverpool, Tottenham, Southampton, 4 points apart. And let's talk about Manchester United. They're sitting on 65 points. But again, they're in absolute disarray. It's a disaster in the back. The defending is so shocking.
Yeah.
2-0 defeat to West Bromwich Albion.
Completely uninspired.
Completely uninspired. Yeah, they're sitting in a Champions League spot now, but I mean, with only 3 games to play, this could change. Yeah. And it makes their game this weekend with Crystal Palace very important.
Very important. And they still have Arsenal to play. So, and Arsenal are, you know, looking for that second spot. They don't really have much else to play for other than keeping everybody healthy for the FA Cup final. But, you know, they're going to compete for the pride. They don't want to go down to Manchester United.
No, of course not.
They lost to them already in the fall. So, that's going to be a tough game. United most definitely need a result against Crystal Palace. It's by far the most interesting game at the top of the table there.
Yeah,
apart from
apart
from the Southampton one as well.
Yeah, well, and you're going to get you've obviously Liverpool, Chelsea. You've got Tottenham at Stoke, and you know, I mean, Tottenham they're sitting in the Europa League spot now. Southampton's got to go to Leicester. Leicester have won 5 of 6.
Yep.
Maybe one of the hottest teams in the Premier League. They've managed to dig themselves out of the relegation zone. Yeah. They're still in the battle. They're still in the very impressively. Yeah. They're still in the battle. But that's one of the hottest teams in the Premier League, you know. And
Southampton won't have Schneider. He's hurt.
Yeah. So it's gonna be, you know, those 4 teams are still, there's a lot to play for there. And I mean, let's talk about Manchester United. I mean, you know, you seem to think they had it sorted out here, you know, a couple weeks ago, but it's just gone bad again. And I mean, I find it hard to believe that Di Maria, that Falcao, that these guys can't play well. I just find it hard to believe.
There's a link. I mean, Carrick being out for the rest of the season is a huge blow for them. Wayne Rooney's been off of it. Van Persie just coming back, but he's just been useless or injured all season.
Penalty saved.
Yeah, penalty saved. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just chips away at the team psychologically. And, you know, Di Maria just does not seem to be able to figure out what he wants.
And Di Maria, I just don't think he's going to fit there. I think he's on his way out. Obviously, Manchester United signing Memphis Depay this week for PSV Eindhoven. And right there, you know, that just shows you somebody's on their way out. Is it Januzaj? Is it Di Maria? Is it both of them?
Right.
And who's going to take on Di Maria's contract and his wages? I mean, I think the only team in the world that would do that at this moment is PSG. I mean, Larry White can bring him in, and that's the only team I see being able to bring him in. But, you know, I'm so frustrated with Manchester United. And I have to admit, I'm not sure Louis van Gaal is the right guy. I'm not sure he is.
Well, he's got him back in the Champions League, and you know, he can just take it from there and see what he does over the summer. He's at least done that, and I mean, he has to finish it out. I would think if Man United lose their Champions League spot at this point, then that's a real question. But if you know, if they finish out in fourth, fine. You're coming in with smoke in the cockpit, but you know, you made it through the season. You're in the Champions League. Now let's see where we can go. You need to buy it. I mean, they need a back line. Ugh. The back line is just Swiss cheese right now.
It's so bad.
And David De Gea, if he stays or not, there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, I mean,
to reboot that whole side.
If David De Gea leaves, that's not a good situation for United.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of changes.
And Victor Valdez is not the answer.
No, he's not the answer.
No.
But I mean, we'll see where they go. Also, all kinds of questions and stuff. Arsenal are looking better than ever. Man City, obviously, are going to reboot.
Yeah.
Questions about them, whether they pick up Paul Pogba.
I've
heard 50 million now, 50 million pounds on the table for that guy.
Yeah.
By the way, it's going to be fit again, I think, for a Madrid game.
Potentially. In training again. But yeah, it should be interesting, to see what happens. One thing that I'm really looking forward to is this transfer window opening.
Yeah,
you know, it's such a great time of year. Every year it's like, oh, who's going where? Who's going where? There's going to be a lot of players that move and a lot of teams that change over, you know, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, they're big questions. So, yeah, will Falcao stay? Is Gundogan going to come in and replace? Like, who's going to replace Carrick when he goes? It's not going to be Dally Blind.
No.
So, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it should be interesting. You've got Todd Stauber and Aaron Hines in here. I'm from the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio and the Back Sports Page Network. We are talking Premier League. Let's talk about the relegation battle. I mean, we're basically looking at six teams here. If you count QPR, I'm going to say they're mathematically still alive, barely. They're still barely breathing. QPR at Man City on Sunday. If they don't get 3 points there, it's done for them.
Yeah, they've lost last week to 2-1 to Liverpool.
Yep.
Tough stat for QPR. Man City haven't lost in 15 games at their old home, the old Etihad. So that's 11 wins. Excuse me, they've lost once. One loss, three draws, and 11 wins for Man City. And I think that's a team that would like to stay in second place.
Yeah.
And QPR just, I think it's too little too late.
Yeah, I think that could be the end of them right there. Good thing Harry Redknapp got out when he did.
Mm-hmm.
This year. Well done, Harry.
Down they go.
He saw that one
coming. Down they go. Sorry to say it.
Yeah.
QPR.
Just sitting right in the bottom, right in the very top, of the relegation zone. Sunderland, huge 3 points from last week against Southampton. That is a massive 3 points for them. Now another very difficult task, traveling to Everton on Saturday. Everton, obviously, in a little bit of form right now with the win over Manchester United a couple weeks ago. It's going to be a tough one, but I mean, you got 2 points separating five teams. Hull City on 34. They're at Burnley on Saturday. Right. They're at home to Burnley on Saturday. Leicester on 34. We mentioned them. Southampton at home on Saturday. Newcastle having the meltdown of all meltdowns. Guys getting sent off on purpose. They've lost 9 on the trot.
Yeah.
The coach is accusing guys of not playing.
Yeah.
They're on 34. They're against West Bromwich Albion on Saturday at home.
They do have Cissé returning, though.
They do have Cissé returning. But you've got some suspensions, and you've got a team that's just, I mean, they look like they're about as unmotivated of a team that I've seen at this stage of the Premier League season that still have something to play for, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah, it is. It's completely rudderless. I don't know if Mike Ashley is going to stay as the owner of the team. The fans are just sick of him.
Yeah.
And what kind of dedication that he's got to the club.
It's unbelievable.
So it is. It's a shame. And that's a massive club up there.
It's a huge club.
They deserve a lot more respect than what they're getting from those players. So
definitely. You've
got fans boycotting the games.
Yeah.
It's a team that will be very happy.
One of the best fan bases in all of Europe, Newcastle United, not just in England, in all of Europe.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see if they go down, how that all pans out. Aston Villa, our last team in that little relegation battle. It's only on 35 points. They're at home. They're West Ham at home, also on Saturday. You know, West Ham's not an easy team to play against, but a lot going on there. You know, we talked obviously last week about it, about the relegation battle, and it heated up after we talked about it. I mean, those results really heated up, and wow, I mean, 2 points. Five teams, 2 points separating them.
It's pretty tight.
It's going to be a good last 3 weeks here, a lot to play for.
It is. I think you look at Burnley and Hull. Burnley get the win. They're still not out of it by a long shot. So I think you got to say Burnley and QPR, it's pretty much.
If Burnley don't get – yeah, Burnley on 26 points. If they don't – if they get 3 points against Hull City, they're kind of right – they may be right back in it.
Yeah.
29, there's still 5 points adrift.
Yeah.
It's mathematically it's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But it's looking tough for them and QPR. Sunderland is a huge, huge deal. Villa, who now have 35. I mean, they've got Benteke scored 10 goals in the last 8 games.
Yeah, he's in a great run of form.
Yeah, they're getting Alan Hutton back. They're getting Scott Sinclair back. They're getting Agbon Lahore back.
I mean, that's a good side.
But they've lost Tim Sherwood. He went in the stands after they scored last week and never came back out, and they still haven't seen him. He hasn't shown up to training.
Yeah, well, Tim Sherwood. Well, yeah, he's probably...
He'll be in the stands cheering.
He's probably on a carnival boat
right now. Right, yeah, he is, yeah. Exactly. Let's take a look below. Let's look at who could be coming up into the Premier League. Today, Brentford against Middlesbrough. First leg of that promotion playoff semi. Tomorrow, Ipswich Town and Norwich City. First leg of that. Looking forward to those. I mean, we talked about it last week. The promotion playoffs are one of the greatest competitions in the world.
No question.
League One promotion playoffs played yesterday. You had Swindon Town 2-1 over Sheffield United in the first leg. And you got old Preston North End 1-0 over Chesterfield. Preston North End, the first place that David Beckham was loaned out when he was a Manchester United player. A little trivia for you there.
Yeah, I like that.
Little David Beckham Man United trivia for you. So those are getting going. You know, really looking forward to those. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We are on Twitter at FTTL in Seattle. And we've got Jerome Boateng on our Twitter feed, asking for $10 a head to help him be able to walk again after he lost the use of his legs through a terrorist attack by Lionel Messi on Wednesday in the Camp Nou.
I still have it pictured in my head of him just falling. It's just great.
It's unreal. Yeah, I've never seen an athlete like that react to anything like that.
Right.
I mean, imagine like if you're watching the NBA and like, you know, Michael Jordan throws a move on Magic Johnson back in the 90s, and Magic Johnson just tips over and falls.
Yeah. It really is.
That's a shocker. Wow. A couple new segments in the show we're going to introduce today, Heinzen, and we're just going to get going right away with your new segment. I'm really excited about this. It is called Heinzen's World 11.
World 11.
Where you give us the top 11 players on the week.
By positions.
Here we go. And each World 11 is talking about this. Every World 11, of course, is coached by FTI Scott Gibson. So
he is the best coach in the world.
Here's my best impression. You got to get back, Carlos. Gonna get back.
Anyways, that's it. Love giving.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. So I did a World 11. Manuel Neuer is my goalie.
Great call because even though they lost, that could have been 6-0 had it not been for him.
That guy is, every time I see him play, it's just extraordinary.
Did you hear about he was talking a little bit of smack before the game about Messi saying he was going to be the boss? And
no,
then
I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
I guess he can say whatever he wants practically. Maybe not to Messi.
No.
Neuer is something else.
Yeah, he was very good.
The save on Suarez, the save on Danny Alves.
Yes.
I mean, just he's there. He is a sweeper keeper.
He takes good angles. He makes himself big. He's got good hands. He's got good feet.
He's got everything.
Yeah, he really is a good
touch.
Yeah.
I mean, and you see how angry he was at Bernat for dribbling out, getting stripped like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he had rightfully so.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't deserve. But anyway, he's my keeper. I put Bonucci in the middle and center back for Juventus. I thought he was really solid. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact the Ronaldo goal, he had a good game performance for Juventus and kind of solidified things back there. You got to conclude Branislav Ivanovic, one of the best outside backs on the planet, just wins the Premier League with Chelsea.
Yep.
That's a huge one. Also, one of my outside backs is Alex Vidal, scored 2 goals for Sevilla against Fiorentina, which we saw.
Yeah.
They didn't have a left back. So right.
Well, they did. He was over getting some water.
It's rare. I mean, the last time I've seen an outside back score 2 goals was, I think, Lilian Thuram, semifinals. Ooh. World Cup 1998.
Wow.
If you remember, check that out.
Yeah.
Lilian Thuram.
Wow. That's,
I mean,
pulling out the archives on the world's best 11.
That's right. And finally, John Terry. Got to include John Terry, captain in Chelsea. He kind of wrote him off, I think, you know, the last year or two. He's getting old. Lampard departs. His old mates are falling to the wayside, but Terry is still captain. He's doing it.
As painful as it is to admit it. Yes.
Got to tip your hat to him.
Yeah.
So that's him. And of course, Nemanja Matic is also another Chelsea guy I got in there. Guy was solid.
What kind of formation are you playing?
We're just kind of running a 4-3-3 here.
Okay.
So he's getting a little central midfielder there for Matic sitting in front of that back four.
Okay.
Just a fantastic, fantastic player. I thought eventually Matic was going to be injured and fall away and Chelsea were going to not be able to handle it. But no, Matic sits in there and does a great job.
Yeah.
The other guy, Carlos Sanchez, for those of you that have not been paying attention, Boca and River right now, 1-2 in the Argentine League, River Plate, and they happen to playing each other in the round 16 in the Copa Libertadores. So get this, the game's at River, 60,000 River fans. No one is allowed to come from Boca because of stadium violence. So it's played in front of 60,000 River Plate fans.
My.
There are 5 yellow cards for River, plus 1 red card for River. Boca only had 2 yellows, so they got out of there, survived.
Oh, my God.
But Carlos Sanchez, midfielder, scores the only goal. River wins 1-0 first leg. Second leg's going to be delicious.
Is that this coming week?
Yeah, this next week. Second leg of the Copa Libertadores. Yeah. So, always, I mean, if you've never seen photos of this thing, this is like one of the games in the world to go see. And the fact that they're playing each other, they just played each other in the league and Boca won 2-0.
Now, are their fans going to be able to go back into the other stadium?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to. Yeah, I think it's a complete ban on that stuff. Okay. I mean, it is. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's kind of like Europe in the 80s a little bit sometimes for some of those games.
Or maybe back when the Yakima Reds would play the Spokane Shadow.
Yes, that's it. Very, very fun. Yeah. Ivan Rakitic is the other player up there. Mm. Rakitic, Barcelona. He's been a fantastic signing.
Yeah, very
creative.
Good.
Works well in there. And so hat tips off to them. That's my midfield. Carlos Sanchez getting in there just because he's playing, scoring a big goal in a big game.
Yeah.
So
it's great. Well, it is the World 11.
It is World 11. You
got to get something from that continent in there. So.
Absolutely. Eden Hazard is going to be up top on the left for me. Player of the year in the Premier League. Scores the winning goal to win the title. Even though it was a crappy PK, got to have him in there. Carlos Tevez up top, central, you got to have him.
Have
it
to.
Was the difference against Real Madrid.
He had a great week.
Wonderful. And, you know, and that's it.
That's it.
I'm just kidding. Of course, Lionel Messi would be the other guy. 77 goals, now leading in Champions League scoring. Gennaro Gattuso called him the PlayStation footballer, is what he looks like.
It looks like you're looks like somebody's controlling him with a video.
It looks like, and you can't even get near him. He's like, Gattuso said, usually you get in there, you mark a guy, you give him a few knocks, you know, you put enough focus on him, you can take him out of his game. He's like, you can't even get close to Lionel Messi.
It's seriously.
It is just scary.
Well, I mean, I think we're watching the best ever. Mm-hmm. I think we are. Mm-hmm. And Pele can argue all he wants and, you know, this mm-hmm. and that. And you know, I mean, all these players, we can list all of them. They were all fantastic in their own right. George Best, Pele, Franz Beckenbauer, all of these players.
Maradona,
Cruyff, even Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, who's got 76 goals. It's just crazy.
It is crazy. And I think the difference to me between Ronaldo and Messi and their, you know, because Ronaldo's doing amazing things.
Yeah, and he's a complete package.
He is a complete package. But the way that Messi does it is so much more attractive.
It is.
You know, and it's just so much more, you know, to the eye to watch him, obviously, is, you know, he's doing things that are incredible. Ronaldo is amazing, though. I don't think he gets lost in the shuffle, but, and I think that Messi will always be considered better than him. But what he's doing is also incredible.
Yeah, it's true. And the one thing Ronaldo does have is he's done it in other leagues too. He's done it in the Premier League.
People forget about how many goals he scored at Manchester United when he was very young in his career.
Absolutely.
Very young in his career. And he scored a ton of goals in the Premier League.
And Messi has been around an incredible Barcelona team, one of the best of all time. But still, he's winning games.
It's
just another level. Yeah, he really is. So that's my World 11.
Heinzo's World 11, the first edition, and it was a good one. It was a good one. I wouldn't want to play that team. We'll have to check with Gibby and see if he agrees with that lineup.
Yeah, see how he likes that. Yeah.
World Manager of the Year, 50 years running, Scott Gibson of FDI.
Fantastic.
Yeah, if you go back and look at the record of wins that guy's had.
Astounding.
It is astounding.
One of those undercurrent stats in Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We are on every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Block Talk Radio, Back Sports Page Radio Network. You can catch us on Twitter as well, FTTL in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also check out our Jerome Boateng photo on Twitter asking for $10 to replace his legs. He'd prefer if you did that by Tuesday so he can play. But you know, we'll see how that goes. We're gonna move into the MLS here. A couple things going on. New England really starting to show their quality. Jumping out ahead here tied on 17 points with DC United. DC United actually with a game in hand. But, I think we all knew once you get Jermaine Jones going, Lee Nguyen, you get that team, Charlie Davies, Kevin Rowe, and get those guys playing, you knew they were going to be very special.
Far better than the team we saw here in Seattle.
Yeah, far better than the team we saw here in Seattle a few weeks ago. But I think New England looks fantastic, and they look to you know, they look to be one of the top teams in the league. And as long as Tom Brady stays away from inflating the soccer balls there at Gillette Stadium, I think they could be on their way back to an MLS Cup final the way it's looking at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they just beat the Red Bulls, the last undefeated team. They beat them 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And they look very shot. Charlie Davies is heating up big time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, New England, I think, hottest team right now, maybe other than our Seattle
Sounders. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the Seattle Sounders. I mean, even though we're right here, I mean, wow, Clint Dempsey and Obafemi Martins. I mean, the connection those two have is really special. And, I mean, to be honest, it's kind of an unlikely combination. You wouldn't think those two guys would figure a way out to combine and work together the way they have. But, I mean, the goal that the Seattle Sounders scored against New York City FC, 18 passes, all on the left side there. And you know, ball comes into Dempsey. What a just a touch to flick on to Martins, and Martins goes through and finishes. And what a lethal finisher. Martins now the leading goal scorer in the MLS with 6 goals. It's a lethal combination. And those two, I mean, you know, you can there's a lot of, you know, people can question whether the Sounders can do it in the playoffs or whatnot. You know, they've always been a good regular season and U.S. Open Cup team. But I think what you're seeing from those two is some combination play that we haven't really seen in the MLS.
Yeah, it's definitely the best partnership right now in the Major League Soccer. And like you said, Martins has 6 goals. Mm-hmm. Dempsey has 5 goals. They're involved in practically, I think, 12 of the 13 goals that Seattle scored.
Right.
So, yeah, they're absolutely everyone's problem. Columbus are going to look to try and stop that. But
yeah,
you know, I don't think Seattle have beaten Columbus. Just about every time. 3 wins and 1 draw in Columbus. They've never lost
them. Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough battle for the Crew, especially coming off losing to DC United
right
like that.
And, yeah, it will be difficult. And I think you're you know when you look at Columbus, mm-hmm. Greg Berhalter, you know, he's come in and he's done well with that group.
Yeah.
You know, he has done well with the group.
Yeah.
Kai Kamara.
Yeah, Kai Kamara. He's got 5 goals.
Yeah. Very dangerous player. So it's not a bad team.
No. You know?
And I think it's always a good atmosphere there.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be a tough game. Let's talk about the first ever Hudson River Derby.
Dun, dun, dun.
New York City FC, though, struggling,
big time.
Looking like an expansion team.
Yeah.
David Villa.
Yeah. 2 goals. He's got some injuries.
Yeah.
Some injuries.
Nick Diskerud. Yeah.
Where it hasn't been around since the start of the season.
Frank Lampard.
Ooh, where is Frank Lampard?
I'm not sure where Frank Lampard is. I think he's actually cooking Yaya Toure a birthday cake right now for next week. Nothing really. I mean, you know, it's always going to be a little bit of a struggle for those expansion teams. You know, we thought more when we did our MLS preview a few months ago. We thought there was going to be, you know, more from them. They started out very good,
yep.
New York City FC, but
Jason Christ.
You know, Jason Christ, obviously a great coach, but now they're, you know, they fall into 8th. They're on 6 points from 9 games, definitely struggling. And I, you know, with New York Red Bull, obviously coming off the loss to New England Revolution, but playing very well on 13 points in a good position, in the Eastern Conference. And I see this as a New York Red Bull win.
Yeah, they got a good mix. Lloyd Sam, Brad Wright-Phillips, 3 goals apiece. They've got Clujton playing very well.
Yeah.
They got McCarty.
Yeah.
They got a good combination going on with the Red Bulls. They look solid. I mean, they were unlucky to lose this last game against New England Revolution, but only because it was New England.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good team. Yeah, it's a very good team. And I think for New York City FC, this could be a huge win for them because
yeah.
You know, I think this early in the season, they need something to help the belief of the group and the culture. And winning that derby, I think, would be a massive thing for them.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I think David Villa, you know, getting back healthy is nice. They haven't scored a goal. Mehdi Bellucci's goal against Seattle was their first goal in 276 minutes.
That's shot
play. So, yeah, they haven't scored since early April. So they're having some attack issues in New York City FC. And so you're right. I think it's going to go to the Red Bulls. Red Bulls have to be pretty happy about this because I bet – if New York City explodes and becomes the club they could be, I think the Red Bulls would be kind of worried about losing a bit of their fan base.
Yeah.
But maybe not. We'll see.
Some
interesting writing about that.
I think the proximity of their stadium actually being in one of the 5 boroughs instead of way out in Harrison,
right.
A 45-minute train ride away.
Right.
You know, I think that's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing.
It is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think if you look at the fan bases that have been grown – the top fan bases that have grown in the MLS, those are all downtown right stadiums, yeah. Portland, right. Seattle, you know, Chicago struggles. They're yeah. way out in the suburbs, yeah. You know, and so I think that
it's more with the urban, the young urbans, the late 20s, mid 20s,
yep.
early 30s.
Vancouver kind of is big. Another downtown stadium, right downtown, you know, restaurants, bars, hotels, yeah. everything right there, walking to the game, a nice, you know, a nice little scene before yeah, the game.
Don't have to get in the car to get there.
And yeah.
You don't, obviously, to New Jersey, but that's a long haul out there in the train.
Yeah, it really is. So. I mean, you know, you know, if you look at San Jose Earthquakes, you're playing down in Santa Clara, you know, I mean, how are people getting there?
Right.
You know, if you go to Colorado, you're out in Commerce City.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a tough one. So,
that's not the, yeah, so I think the growing fan base of the Major League Soccer.
No, no. Right. And speaking of the Colorado Rapids are at the bottom of the Eastern Conference
yes.
still, the Western Conference still. But if you look at that Western Conference and let's look at the top two teams, little bit of surprises, young teams, FC Dallas, Vancouver Whitecaps. We've been talking about the Whitecaps the last few weeks. Dallas back up there, both on 17 points. Dallas even with a game in hand there. And then you've got Seattle Sounders there on 8 games to 16 points. LA Galaxy right behind on 14. LA Galaxy going to Dallas this yep. week. Big game. They've got some injuries. LA Galaxy do, and it's a big game for them.
Yeah, the top goal scorer is Alan Gordon with 3 goals. Master guy on the corner kicks. So Alan Gordon, classic player.
Got one against the Sounders. Oregon State University, go Beavers.
Portland Timbers for a while. Alan Gordon, great guy.
You played with him, didn't you?
Yeah, played with him. Yeah, fantastic. Always finding the right spot.
Was his hair that long when you played with him?
It was not. It was a lot shorter.
Oh, was it?
You know, he's going back. You know, he's going it out.
Yeah. It doesn't really look that good.
Well, you have to talk to him about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, maybe you can for him.
No, maybe.
Okay.
Well, Blas Perez, 4 goals. Fabian Castillo, super fast player for Dallas, has 4 goals. The Galaxy, the problem with them is they've got a lot of injuries right now. The Edson Buttles out, Robbie Keane's out, Jose Villarreal, Todd Dunhamit. Those are a lot of guys missing. So it's going to be a tough game. Might not be their time to win it in Dallas, but it'll be a battle. You're going to look at Vancouver's hosting Philadelphia this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and Philadelphia are the worst team. The only reason they're not at the bottom of the East Coast is Montreal's only played 4 games.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, you got Philadelphia with playing.
Philadelphia's played, they've got 6 points out of 10.
Yes, that's shocking. 6 points. Montreal have 2 points.
Yeah.
And 4 games. So,
yeah, exactly.
And they've had, you know, something like the CONCACAF Champions League final distracting them. So,
right.
Anyway, you got to look at Vancouver getting the 3 points.
Yep.
Seattle have a good chance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how.
See a little bit of.
Yeah. Oh, well, in that Western Conference, I think is clearly the stronger of the two conferences. A lot of good teams in there. So it's going to be, you know, as we rev up this summer here, it's going to be good to see that. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're on every morning, every Friday morning, 9 a.m. And you can catch us on Blog Talk Radio or on the back and on the back sports page. Radio network. You could do either or, really.
Either or, yeah.
You could do both.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Okay. we're gonna go into another new segment we've got here. It's Stauber's bottom three. I'm gonna pick my bottom three on the weekend.
Can't
wait. Before I do so, I just want to pay homage to the originator of the original bottom three, Peter Hatrup, very famous Seattle player, one of the first MLS draft picks ever.
That's
in
right.
The first MLS draft.
Tampa Bay Mutiny,
and then did his knee in training camp. One of the best players to ever come out of Seattle, no question. And speaking of Messi, I just saw on Monday night, Hatrup was playing in an over 50s game next to us, and he looked like Lionel Messi in an over 50s game.
No,
it was unfair.
Yeah,
shouldn't be allowed. But he originated the bottom three, I'm going to keep it going here. So my bottom three, number three on the list, I'm going to give it to Pep Guardiola for a couple reasons. One, for trying to play 3-for-3 against Barca in the new camp. I just thought that was not a wise choice on his part. Second reason, just to break out of it after 15 minutes, and right. clearly you're in a panic session, 15 minutes in.
Right.
If I'm Barca, that sends a great message to me in that game. Right. So didn't like that. The last thing I didn't really like about Pep was the Mario gets a substitution for Thomas Mueller. When you're needing goals, I don't understand why you can't play with both of them. And Thomas Mueller was one of the only players that looked comfortable on the night for them. And I was very surprised he was taken off.
Yeah.
He was surprised he was taken off as well. You could see his reaction. Yeah. He wasn't happy.
Right.
So Pep Guardiola is going to take the number three position in the bottom three. Number two position in the bottom three goes to Jerome Boateng's left leg. And that was the original leg that got stuck in the turf and caused him to fall down. The third place in the bottom three is going to Jerome Boateng's right leg. which when that leg tried to move to follow Messi, nobody's really sure what happened.
Yeah.
And a grown man just tipped over in a penalty box and fell over.
So his right leg got first.
His right leg was worse than the left leg. So I'm giving
that's the number one
I'm spot. Giving him the number one spot. Because the right leg really, I mean, the left leg actually moved a little bit.
Right.
But the right leg literally just froze and he just fell over. So the right leg was worse than the left leg. So bottom three there, Pep Guardiola and then Jerome Boateng's left leg. And then his right leg is the top of the bottom three.
Maybe we can get them to send a photo of just Guardiola wrapping his arm around both Boateng's legs.
Yes. Oh, that's
happy
just
to be a part of town, so
that's
three.
Just fantastic. let's jump back over into the MLS here. A couple more things I want to touch on. One is let's talk about Giovinco with Toronto.
Oh yeah,
this player, we talked about him coming in at the beginning of the season, and we talked about him being a quality young player still, you know, in the prime of his career. But we've seen some very high level play from him, and this free kick that he hit last week was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he's 40 yards out.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's the best free kick in Major League Soccer this year, and it will probably be the best one of the whole season.
No question.
Smashes it. Doesn't even move at all. The ball just goes straight over the wall, right into the keeper. Has no chance. It is against the Philadelphia Union, but no one's stopping that.
No,
that was the game changer.
Yeah, the goalkeeper did get a hand to it, but I mean, wow.
It was amazing.
And that's not all he's done this year. You know, he's been very good in all situations, you know, and I still think Toronto, you know, there are 9 points out of 7 games. They got a couple games to play. They're not, you know, they're in a pretty decent spot, I would say. And I still think with Jozy Altidor, with Bradley, with Giovinco, I mean, this is a team that I think, especially in a weaker Eastern Conference, we need to be thinking about them as a playoff team.
Yeah, I think. They're off to a great start. It's just so funny sometimes in Major League Soccer, you know, Bradley's going to go away for the Gold Cup. So is Altidore.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to handle that at that time?
Right.
And if Giovinco gets an Italy call, you never know.
I mean, will he?
The way Juventus are playing, I mean, he's got to be thinking he's kind of on the periphery. You know, he's in Major League Soccer. He's not playing in the Champions League. He's not playing in Europe.
No.
So I'm not sure he'll go away to Italy. They've got a couple other options.
Yeah, a few. Yeah, they could just bring in Juventus.
Yeah, they could be free. Although none of Juventus strikers are Italian, to be fair. But
that's true.
But they do have a lot of the back line, a lot of their players. I mean, Pirlo will still be there.
Yeah.
I think the national team. So
yeah,
anyway,
definitely.
Giovinco, but you could see him. Scores more free kicks like that, for sure he'll be there.
Well, yeah, he's been very good. So last note on the MLS, sad note, Eddie Johnson had his contract voided by the MLS today, announced his retirement. A heart ailment. Former Seattle Sounder, former national team player, spent the early part of his career at FC Dallas, moved on to Kansas City, then went to Fulham, and then went on loan to every team in the European Union, and then came back to the Seattle Sounders in 2012. Scored a lot of goals here, got a great contract with DC United, and scored some goals for them last year. It was revealed at the beginning of the year he had a heart ailment. I think they've been trying to sort that out and have come to the conclusion that it can't be sorted out. Yeah. He's being forced to retire. Yeah. Sad day.
It is sad. Yeah, it's tough. Anytime a player, it's out of your control or something you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for health reasons.
But better. I mean, I'd rather see this than see a Fabrice Muamba situation, or something where Eddie Johnson's laying on the field, struggling. So, you know, Eddie Johnson, he wasn't a massive favorite here in Seattle. I think he's been a nuisance everywhere he's gone in his career. But still, even with that, even having said that, you never wish this upon anybody. And, you know, obviously wish him the best in the rest of, you know, his life outside of soccer and hope that is, something that's, that's successful for him.
Yeah, on to something else.
He's definitely on to something else. So you're listening to Todd Stalmer and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio and Back Sports Page Radio Network. We're going to get on to our final segment of the show. And this is Two Touch. This is where I give Heinzen. And just so the listeners know, I have not given – Heinzen has no idea what I'm going to say to him during this. So I keep it secret from him because I won't – we just really want to see his natural reaction to these topics. So we're going to get going here on Two Touch.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Heinzen, so the Camp Nou or the new camp?
Oh, I think it's Camp Nou Camp.
Oh, wow.
Both sides are covered. Everyone's happy.
Everybody's happy. Camp Nou Camp. We're not really sure why it's called both, but we're just going to call it the Camp Nou Camp. Paul Pogba back in training for Juve. Will he face Real next week?
Oh, I think he does. I think if there's any chance he's going to be healthy, they'll absolutely. The last thing they want is to, he's a prized little gold nugget they have, and they want to sell him, or if they want to make money, they'll sell him. So they don't want him damaged, but if they have a chance, you want that Paul Pogba in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, put him in there with Pirlo, yeah. And I think Juve's got a real issue, yeah, with, especially with no Luka Modric.
Yeah, absolutely. So Paul Pogba, healthy. It's a close call. I'm going to say if he's healthy. I mean, obviously he'll play if he's healthy.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Okay. Yeah. We were preparing for the show today at La Rev, French cafe on top of Queen Anne, our only sponsor.
La Rev.
They don't know they're our sponsor. We're just calling them that.
Thanks, yes.
But they were playing a lot of Michael Jackson songs all morning. Best Michael Jackson video of all time, Heinzen.
Ooh, it's got to be Thriller for me. I just love it, you know, especially when she turns around and there he is.
Yeah.
But absolutely, close second is, you know, Smooth Criminal.
Yeah.
Smooth Criminal is unbelievable.
Yeah, Smooth Criminal is a good one. On the stairs with the footsteps. Yeah.
Gosh.
That's fantastic. It was great. Sorry. It really got us going for the show. It was great.
If you've never watched that video, you need to see it right now.
Yeah. Mehdi Bellucci, as you mentioned, scored the first goal in 276 minutes against Seattle for New York City FC. Alex Rodriguez has been playing very well for the Yankees in the same stadium. Mm. Will New York City FC look to sign Alex Rodriguez next?
I don't believe they can afford him, but actually maybe if Etihad steps in and they want to buy somebody extra, maybe they will have Alex Rodriguez.
Okay, well, I mean, they're going to bring in Frank Lampard. He's around the same age. They might as well.
Might as well have Alex Rodriguez on corners.
Mm-hmm. We're going to – Manchester City look to give Yaya Toure a birthday cake next week, something they missed last year and he was very upset about. Will this be enough to keep him at Manchester City?
I think if it's a 15 to 25 layer cake, they may have a chance, but it's looking like that's not going to be the case.
What kind of frosting?
I think I'll definitely go with strawberry.
Oh, strawberry frosting.
A little summer surprise. Yaya Toure, he did win the African Nations Cup this year. Nice year.
Yeah, he's had a great year. Yeah,
but I think maybe that'll be more like a farewell cake.
Okay.
A little bit of mix both.
Okay, you think he's out?
Thank you and farewell. Yeah,
okay.
He's on his way out.
Manny Pacquiao, he was in a big fight this week against Floyd Mayweather, came out afterwards, said his shoulder was destroyed and subsequently had surgery. If you're Manny Pacquiao, do you disclose that injury before the fight or do you do what he did and disclose it after and then get sued by all the fans?
Yeah, I think you got to say that you've had an injury before. I think Manny Pacquiao is kind of disgraced.
Yeah.
At that point.
He is disgraced at this point.
No question.
Okay.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, somebody said that he was kind of, they had talked about it before, but they didn't say it was as big, you know, it's obviously a lot bigger of a deal than they. Making it out.
I've had the same surgery he's had on both of my shoulders.
Yeah.
That's a major injury.
Yeah, it's a major
I can't
injury.
Imagine trying to punch Floyd Mayweather with my shoulder in that condition. To be honest, I can't even believe he lasted the fight with that injury.
Yeah.
It's almost remarkable in itself that he did last the fight with the injury, but how do you not disclose that before?
Yeah, he is absolutely disgraced for it. No question.
Unbelievable.
So,
unbelievable. Manchester United this week signing Memphis. Is it Depay or Depay?
I think it's tomato, tomato, Depay or Depay. If you want,
either
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I would ask him, but Depay. I'm gonna say Depay. That's what I've always heard.
And the first name Memphis clearly is not from Tennessee.
Clearly is not. It's Greek Memphis. Don't know what his role was in the old Greek mythology list. If he was a Greek god, but most definitely Memphis was a town in Greece. No question.
Memphis was a town in Greece.
Yeah,
and a Greek god.
Yeah. No, I don't know if he was a Greek god. I might be making that up there. But most definitely from Greece.
Okay. Good.
Memphis.
That concludes Two Touch. That's all I got for you.
I love it.
Always a lot of information coming out of that Two Touch, though.
Always good times.
But it's going to be, you know, just looking ahead to next week and the weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. You know, obviously we talked about it. Some real, real important relegation games. You've got the promotion playoffs going on. And then heading into next week, you know, Tuesday – we get to see
absolutely
Jerome Boateng come out on the field in a wheelchair. And we get to see, and then on Wednesday, we get to see, you know, Juventus and see if they can complete this, you know, what would be, I think would be amazing. Would be, I don't want to say it would be an upset or a surprise, but it would be, I think it would be a very special win for Juventus.
Oh yeah. Back in the Champions League final for the first time in years.
Right.
So it'd be huge for definitely for them. Which game are you going to watch this weekend? Are you going to watch any games? Do you have time?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, but definitely I think the Chelsea-Liverpool game is one I want to watch. I want to see Roman Abramovich at center back. I also
think Peter Cech will play?
Yeah, I think Petr Cech will play, and I think it'll probably be one of his last games for Chelsea. I think he'll get sold. But I think the United-Palace game is definitely one I'm going to see. It's a must-win for United, you know, and I think they've got to get – they have to get those 3 points to assure themselves of that spot.
No
so
question.
Certainly going to be a great week, though. I will see you on Tuesday and Wednesday for Absolutely. Sure to no see both of those games. You know, just can't wait for the week. And we will be back next Friday to talk all things world soccer, Champions League analysis, looking at the final, looking at promotion, looking.
Congratulations, Todd Stauber, winning state championship last week. Well done.
Thank you very much. It's a great week. We'll see you next week.